We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Sunday Telegraph Home and Living section, read by Brian Perkins.
I don't use the televisions in the bath very much myself, as I'm more of a shower person, but my wife likes to lie back and watch the soaps.
Our thanks to Bill Martin of Crawley for sending that in. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Joe Brand. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Armando Iannucci. And in nice easy one, which dizzy gent thinks he's a dissident?
Well, this is a terrible story of human rights abuse. I've actually contacted Amnesty International about this because we're talking about another prisoner of conscience. We had Nelson Mandela and Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and now we've got someone who has, for years, been incarcerated in a palace with, you know, just a little exercise area called Cornwall. And I was reading his extracts from his journal today because he decided to go to court to protect his privacy. So now the journal's been printed in every newspaper. And it's a very strange journal because there's one bit where he talks about not being given first class seats. He's in club class. And at the end, he's written, "Such is the end of empire. I sighed." You don't write "I sighed" in your diary, do you? But then I discovered...
Because it isn't a diary.
He circulates it among 50 of his closest admirers.
So it's actually a round robin.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah. Yeah.
This year, Charles remained first in line to the throne.
It's all a set-up. I mean, really, when Machiavelli wrote The Prince, he had Charles in mind for this.
The Daily Mail has played right into his hands because they're claiming that it's in the public interest that we can read it. But when you read it, you realise it's just not interesting.
If it was full of Charles claiming that the Holocaust never happened or cartoons of Muhammad going into first class, then that would be interesting. But this is dull.
There's a few funny quotes. There's one where he says about Blair, he says... And when you talk to him, he looks as if he's actually listening to you, which I found astonishing.
Could he not bump himself up to first class?
I thought you were going to say, could he not bump himself off? Well, yeah, I wish.
Oh, the other great quote was he said what a disastrous idea it was to scrap the Royal Yacht Britannia. And he says, the trouble with politicians is they don't live in the real world. They don't know how essential a royal yacht is. Yeah.
Prince Charles' attempt to sue the Daily Mail for publishing comments made in the private diary resulted in the disclosure by his former press secretary that the prince sees himself as a dissident working against the prevailing political consensus. Of course, most political dissidents are usually locked away and never, ever heard from again. If only. 2 points to Andy. Joe, why may we have heard the swan song for poultry freedom?
Is this a little bit of a bird flu question,
I fear
Simon?
It is, yes.
Well, I've rather handily come along with bird flu this week. And let me tell you that as a woman, I lay in bed for half an hour, then I just got up and got on with it. Yes, well, bird flu's taking over, and everyone in Europe has decided on a different way of managing it. And I think in Britain, we're just going to bury our heads under the pillow and go, oh, please don't. Put a few scarecrows on the White Cliffs.
Massive one.
I thought possibly John McCririck could go down to Dover and just stand there. That's enough to scare off anyone, isn't it, really?
It's the answer, cats, and lots of them. I mean, if the government issued cats to every family...
How about getting Dick Cheney and telling him to shoot something else? Yeah.
Dick Cheney on the White Cliffs of Dover.
There was a picture of one of these awful battery sheds with thousands of chickens in it, when they were talking about vaccinating them. I tell you, there were 10,000 chickens all looking exactly alike. And you stand there with a syringe, how do you know you've got the 1/14th from the left?
Well, the solution, Alan, is ID cards.
This week, 9 dead swans found across the country were tested for bird flu. It's thought the swans died because they went out in the cold without their swan vestas.
Hang on, I just need to cull Jo. She just... she just coughed
yes,
over me.
I'm sorry.
Armando, which blue boy has left his supporters red-faced?
This will be David Cameron, who is taking the Tory party to the... Well, they all say he's taking it to the left, but he's taking it to the soft centre-right. The vast hinterland. He's like a cowboy on the Oregon Trail, moving west to the unpopulated, unspoiled, great open plains of the left wing. It's like Brokeback Mountain. I'm not saying he's gay, but if it gets him more votes, then, you know, I'm prepared to think about it. The older Tories, who've been saying, for 150 years we've been losing elections, how dare he try and change that tradition?
That's true, right? David Cameron has come under sustained fire from his party's right wing after the Tories' biggest donor, Stuart Wheeler, expressed disappointment at the new leader's policies. Critics claim the new leader is just too ready to switch ideological sides in any argument. Mr Cameron's aides deny that he swings both ways. Apparently he's just Lib Dem curious.
Brokeback Mountain.
Alan, some music.
If you drive a car, car,
tax the street.
If you drive to sit,
I'll tax your seat.
If you get too cold,
I'll tax the heat.
If you take a walk,
I'll tax your food.
Tax
man. Alan, why are local authorities taxing our patients?
It's about community charge.
Yes.
Yes. Whatever it's called. I don't know about community charge. I still play Monopoly where it's 10 quid or take a chance. community charges, or whatever it's called now, council tax, is going up exponentially with every passing year. And all the very old pensioners, of whom I am one, are going to have to work for 85 just to pay their council charges or be evicted and thrown out onto the streets, which... not having been maintained because there are no council charges, coming in the drains will be full of old-age pensioners.
Now that you mentioned local services, can I just take this opportunity to say that our bins weren't collected 2 days ago? And if Chiltern District Council could come and...
you know what, round my way, I've worked it out, I think they should acknowledge the reality and contract out the collecting the bins to the foxes. Bin men only come once a week, but the foxes come about four times a night.
Ah, no, but you see, Andy, they might pick up your old credit card slips and assume your identity. It would be appalling.
You don't see Andy Hamilton being chased across fields by lots of posh men and women on horses.
You don't know where to look.
I've been chased loads of
times. He's just been chased by a lot of women.
Yeah.
And they weren't posh either, I
think. Actually, can I just say how much I agreed with the words of Alan Sugar this week? Did you see, I don't know, those of you who watched The Apprentice, he deplored the practice, quite too common in this country, of people exploiting their sexuality. There are people who, you know, sleep their way to the top. And we'll name names, shall we? I'm talking about Alan Corrin.
If this is the top, it wasn't worth it.
You do sleep a lot, though, don't you? Yeah. Usually by round four.
Council tax bills in England to increase by more than twice the level of inflation this year, marking a doubling of the property tax in just 10 years. It's feared that people withholding their council tax in the capital could have an adverse effect on events in the Olympics, such as the not-quite-so-long jump and synchronised splashing in puddles. So at the end of round one, everybody has 4 points. Start round two with a sign discovered in a butcher's shop.
Eat our prize-winning sausages, you'll never get better.
Thanks to Andy Carmichael for spotting that. Andy, whose history revision received a very poor mark?
Oh, is this David Irving?
It is.
Thank you for this question, Simon. Getting back to Alan Sugar. Well, David Irving said sorry for having doubted that the Holocaust happened. But they sent him to prison for 3 years anyway. He's appealing. That's his opinion. I don't think anyone would agree with him.
The fact of the matter is he didn't actually have to go to Austria, did he?
No.
He chose to go there, according to his wife, to wind them up a bit. And I think he didn't do terribly well.
No, I think they wound him up back.
I think they did.
Be all right. I don't believe there are Austrian prisons.
No.
I've got a question that's loosely related to it, which is I've always wondered why the nastiest regimes get to live in the most pretty countries. Because I've felt that often, Austria is beautiful, but it's wasted on the Austrians. And nearly all the horrible regimes are surrounded by beautiful landscape.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the Isle of Man is lovely.
Does it work the other way round, then?
Well, that's the patriotic view, isn't it?
Neo-Nazi historian David Irving was jailed for 3 years in Austria this week after being found guilty of 3 charges of denying the Holocaust. As he was led from the court, Irving denied he'd been found guilty, denied that he was going to jail for 3 years, and denied all knowledge of the famous Austrian prison game, Hide the Bratwurst. Joe, who thought it would all be over, but it isn't now.
Is this a sort of ordinary story of some rather lazy, walking arse cracks? Who just kind of had a few smokes of cannabis and wandered around for a bit, had a cup of tea, and didn't finish a bit of work they were meant to finish on an absolutely massive scale. Wembley, in other words.
You did?
You know, that's all there is to it. It's just normal builders on a big scale. We've all had it happen to us. We've all wanted to headbutt them down the road. Just there's 3,500 of them on this instead of 4.
Do you think there was that moment where they said to, you know, yeah, we'll be out by Tuesday?
I always like that moment when any building work is undertaken. When you go into the room and there's a piece of elastoplast across one of the switches, and they say, it'll be all right if you don't... Just don't touch that switch.
We once moved into a house where the previous occupant had actually done all his own wiring. And after about a year and a half, we couldn't work out... There was a socket for a light, but we couldn't work out where the switch was for him. So we rang him up and he said, oh, no, there isn't a switch. What you need is an oven glove, and you just stick the bulb in. And when you switch the light, when you want the light off, you just take the bulb out.
When I was a student, I had a little electric meter. You know, I used to put a coin in and turn the handle, and I started getting a little bit of a shock off this. It was getting a bit uncomfortable, and so I called out the electrician, and he looked at me and said, yeah, are you a hairy man? I said, sorry, I don't know what you mean. He said, have you got a lot of body hair on your chest and on your... I said, well, I'm reasonably hairy. He said, because you see, what's happening here? He said, this is a nylon carpet, you're quite a hairy kind of person. He said, you are picking up quite a big charge of static as you cross the room, and then you're bending down to the meter, and it's discharging the static charge. And that's what you're experiencing. Now, I thought, well, you know, you get static shocks off filing cabinets and stuff. It's plausible. So I said, oh, cheers, thanks. Thanks for that. It's explained it. I feel all right now. Anyway, weeks went by, and I'm getting a bigger shock off this thing each time. It's got to the stage where I'd rather sit and freeze than face the jolt I'm going to get from this. And then finally, I thought, no, this is getting silly. So I ring up the same electrician, and man turns up. He's actually the man who owns the firm. He comes in and he bends down, he gets the casing, and then after about 20 seconds he stops and he says, this bloke who came out to see you last time, what does he look like? I said, well, he's sort of slightly gingerish, tall thing. I said, why do you want to know what he looks like? He says, because I have to fire him. Because basically it wasn't earthed and there was... And the insulation was where... Basically, I was 2 weeks away from getting the whole of the mains, really. But how stupid was I?
Yeah, I tell you what, you would have felt even more stupid if you'd gone and got a full body wax. But it does suit you.
Football Association has been forced to move the FA Cup to Cardiff's Millennium Stadium after the builder's multiplex couldn't guarantee that the new Wembley would be ready on time. The arch replacing old Wembley's twin towers has been beset by problems. Architects fear that at 133 feet, it still isn't high enough to catch a David Beckham penalty. Armando, listen to this. I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles. Armando, if you give him an inch, he'll take a kilometre.
All right, yes, miles. I saw something in the paper about a campaign to change our road signs from miles to kilometres. I think in time for the Olympics, only 6 years away. Six British years away. Which is 10 natural years. And I come from Scotland, where all the road signs... Right, in Wales, you have them in Welsh and in English. In Scotland, we have them in English and in Sean Connery. So it says 60, and then underneath it says 60.
This week, a report by the UK Metric Association called for Britain to convert all road signs to metric in time for the 2012 Olympics. It's easy to convert miles per hour to kilometres per hour. Multiply the miles per hour by 5, divide by 8, divide by pi, subtract the number you thought of, and then if you don't see any speed cameras, put your foot down. Alan, why should the Bank of England be worried after an unexpected run on the pound?
It's not the one about the security guard that got an ASBO for forcing women to take off their tights because he told them his fan belt had broken. It's a very good story, that.
No, I think it's... I think it's a smaller down column story about these people who took £40 million away from a company called Securitas. I don't know why they call themselves Securitas. It turns out that one deputy bloke in charge of £40 million knows where all the keys are and all the codes. You'd think they'd at least have six people. I mean, even the Americans have come up with two different people to put an end to the world. And there were various experts on television the night it went, saying if it were only £50 notes and each one was stood end to end, it would reach to the moon and things like that. It brought out the best in BBC. Forgive me, Brian, but the reporting of this item was a bit scrappy.
I saw one of these experts, and he said these criminals are almost invariably caught. And they said, what usually leads to them being caught? And he said, boasting. The biggest asset the police have got is that somewhere in that gang there will be someone who goes down the pub and says, do you know what I did yesterday? Drinks are on me, everybody.
Is the estimated £40 million raid on the Securitas cash management centre in Tunbridge, Kent. The thieves made off with £40 million after little more than 90 minutes' work. They're believed to be Premiership footballers. Everybody has 8 points. Before we start round three, here's an advertisement from the Sydney Morning Herald.
Brothel, Sydney. Investment opportunity established over 15 years. 10 rooms, 2 reception areas, 2 waiting rooms, front and rear entrance.
Our thanks to Alan Mackey of Eltham, New South Wales for that. Andy, who are always gladiators to see the illegitimates in the black?
There was a report that said that gladiators didn't fight the way they do in Spartacus, where they're in sort of their underpants and then they stab each other with knives and swords and those big, long, pointy things. They didn't fight...
Tridents.
That's
you.
It. Tridents. Thank you. They used to fight in quite a sporting way, and there was a ref there, and it was all rather sort of Queensbury rules, and they weren't finished off in front of the emperor and a seething mob holding their thumbs down. It was quite tasteful, actually. It was decided who'd won the bout, and then they were taken sort of backstage, and then the loser was killed with a hammer. Which is, you know, let's be honest, it's a much more humane kind of death, isn't it? Yeah.
But, it's very unimaginative to the Romans. It would make, if you think about it, much more interesting if the winner was killed with a hammer.
The Aztecs used to kill the winner, didn't they? Because they felt that you sent your best man to the gods as a gift. So presumably there was an awful lot of diving around on the floor. Oh, no, you're too good for me.
Is there a race that ever killed the fastest loser?
Maybe that's for the next series of The Apprentice. Instead of, you know, him firing them, he takes them into a room, hits them with a hammer.
I always thought Big Brother would be more exciting at the end if there was a sniper somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah. I think Big Brother would be much better, though, if it wasn't on.
Austrian scientists examining the bones of 66 Roman gladiators found in a Turkish cemetery say they have evidence that gladiatorial contestants were governed by strict rules of conduct, suggesting the duels were watched by referees. Anyone severely wounded was put out of his misery outside the stadium with a hammer blow. A little harsh, you might think, but it certainly put an end to diving in the penalty area. Joe, why could giving birth soon be a pain in the wallet?
Oh, yeah. This is because the I think it's the Royal College of Midwives they're called, or as people who have children like to call them, the Royal College of Childless Fascists. they are mooting the idea of charging women for epidurals during childbirth.
Do they actually negotiate the fee during childbirth? Someone would just pay anything, wouldn't they?
I was thinking, you know, if you're paying for epidurals, there must be different types available, you know. I would just go in and say, could I have an insulin coma, please? And then just hand the child to me when it's six and I'll send it down the shop for some fags. But
Is the theory that women don't really need epidurals, then? Is it just they're making a bit of a fuss? Is that the...
Well, yeah, I think this is what a lot of midwives feel, you know. But they're not happy unless you're screaming in pain.
Yeah, that's right.
I shouldn't say this, because actually I've met a lot of very nice midwives, and a lot of very strange ones, actually. Now, there was one midwife, after I had my first child, who came and gave me a morphine jab one night and did it so badly it really, really hurt. And I said a rude word because it hurt so much. And she said, "Can I kiss it better?" Is that thing?
And was she injecting you? I'll tell you what is good stuff during childbirth, though, which is gas and air.
Gas and air is crap for women. They just supply that for the husbands to have a bit of money.
My wife kept trying to take it off me.
I once had gas and air. I was doing a humorous documentary about sex for Radio 4. But this was when there was this flood of Lover's Guide videos came out, and I was on my way to interview the director of a Lover's Guide, and I was in the lift going into his editing suite. The lift door opened, and I came out, and the lift hadn't quite met the floor, and so I caught my foot, and basically I fell, dislocated my knee, and fell screaming in pain. And I had in my bag all sorts of... I was also on my way to interview someone who'd set up a women's pornographic magazine called something like For Women or something like that. Plus Lover's Guide videos. And anyway, I fell, disengaged, screaming in agony. I heard this director turn around and said, "Get my PA to call an ambulance." Absolutely true. And they arrived and they carted me off an ambulance to the hospital, giving me gas and air. And all the way in to the hospital, I was thinking, I must stay conscious. I must stay conscious. Because if I fall unconscious, they will look in the bag.
The Education and Research Committee of the Royal College of Midwives has said that women having babies in NHS hospitals should pay for epidural injections unless there's a medical need for them. Midwives in private hospitals where an epidural has been administered spend an average 30 minutes longer shouting, "Push!" usually when the poor woman is trying to enter her chip and pin number. Alan, whose Antarctic record attempt ended up on the rocks?
This is a bloke who wanted to row around the polar ice cap and fell in after about 10 minutes.
Yes.
Instead of just looking at the penguins and saying, "Gosh, they're almost human," or anything people would normally say in the Antarctic, he's got in a boat and tried to row round it. I didn't know the Antarctic was round. I mean, when I was a boy, Captain Scott went straight there to the pole, dropped dead, fine. That's what he knew. What great British people did then. But people have changed now. They get in little boats and just stay on the wet bit because it's not that cold. Well, they don't stay on it. He fell in it. Come in, number 14, your time is up. I wish...
It was a tiny boat, though, wasn't it?
Well, you can't row a big boat. You're not going to go down there. On the P&O Orion...
Was it further than Ben Fogle and James Cracknell went, do you suppose?
No, they went...
They went across
that's
the Atlantic,
straight line.
Didn't
that's
they?
Different.
That was sensible.
The straight line is all right.
Yeah. Why?
Going round is difficult because you've got to pull more on one oar than the other.
If he waited 10 years till global warming had kicked in, he could probably go round it in a day.
British authorman Colin Yates, who set up on a 10-month attempt to row solo around Antarctica, had to admit defeat after just 39 hours at sea, during which he capsized 5 times and ran aground. Mr. Yates had hoped to collect scientific data for the Met Office to determine whether or not the oceans are warming. His final report said, not nearly enough. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
This is from Peter Kent, and it says, a taxi painted in military camouflage to advertise the Aldershot Army Show today was so well disguised that a lorry collided with it in the town.
Joe.
I rather like this. A driver who crashed into a lamppost in Horam, East Sussex. This is from Max Ross in Worthing, by the way. While twice over the legal drive limit, begged another driver who stopped, don't get the police, I'm drunk. Unfortunately for Jan Sipek, 25, a Czech au pair, he was speaking to Chief Inspector Peter Mills.
Armando.
Well, this one leapt out at me because of the headline, which was No One Hurt in Crash. sent in by Helen Axford from the East Anglian Daily Times. Firefighters were called to a car accident outside a building society yesterday. The incident happened at 1:27 p.m. on Woodbridge Road East, Ipswich. Fire crews from Princes Street and another from headquarters in Colchester Road attended the one-vehicle accident. There were no people trapped and no one was injured. And the scene was made safe by 1:33 p.m.
Simon, this is from the Leicester Mercury. It's stretchered off. After twice colliding with the goalpost during training last Thursday, standoff half Terry Landy has announced that he'll be fit to play in tomorrow's crucial game. I'm back to normal, he says. The doc gave me a brain scan and found nothing.
Let's look at the final score, which is that everybody has a perfect 16 points. A letter printed in the Birmingham Mail sent in by Rob Matthews.
I went to see Harold Wilson make a speech at the Grand Hotel Birmingham. I had a chat with him in the gents' toilet, and he was certainly holding his own then.
Goodbye.
Taking part in the news program, Andy Hamilton, Joe Brand, Amanda Unici and Alan Collins. The chairman is Simon Hoggett, and the news is read by me, Brian Tobin. The chairman's script was written by George Pohl, Simon Littlefield and Rodney Crooks, and the producer was Katie Tillotson.